Guys, I grew up loving the Power Rangers. Loving the Power Rangers. And so my wife bought me these old, like, and if any of you guys are my age, which maybe there's none in this room, but if you were, they had these like flip head Power Ranger toys. Do you know what I'm talking about? They were awesome. And my wife bought me the whole set, and I'm pumped. But presents are awesome. On top of that, do you know what else is a really cool gift to get? How many of you guys got some video games for Christmas? Maybe it was a console, maybe it was a game, or maybe it was a, did anyone get like a tablet or a phone where you can download games on that? Got some good stuff there. I think video games are pretty sweet. How many of you guys like video games? Okay, so that half does it. Or no, it's behind you. Don't worry. You like it, just the rest. Like this whole side, raise their hand, everyone knows, like, no, sorry, I'm too busy playing video games right now to answer. But I think video games are pretty sweet. Have you ever asked yourself, what would life be like if it was a video game? Like, think about it. Like, honestly, one of the coolest things about video games is that you can be going and you're playing, and then when you mess up, you can start right back over again. You don't have to just keep in the same rut of things. You know, in life we have mistakes, in life we have problems, but in video games, when a problem comes along, we just restart. We just reset. And how awesome would that be like if life was like a video game where whenever we had a problem, whenever we had an issue, we could just reset. We could just restart, and it'd be as if that had never happened. So for every hurt and if you've ever hurt someone or someone's hurt you, that would all just go away because it'd be as simple as just restarting. But the truth is, life isn't a video game. And the choices you and I make, they're important. We can't just go back and change every aspect like a video game. We can't just reset when we want to. And so that's why it's so important that the decisions that you and I make, that we're wise about them. And we don't just do whatever we want because they do affect our every day. And so, as you guys can see, tonight's message is called Reset. And tonight we're going to be talking about two guys in the Bible, guys who made some mistakes, some guys who messed up. And we're going to be in Luke 22. So if you guys have your Bibles, definitely feel free to open to that. If you're taking notes, definitely write down not only all the verses, but write down Luke 22. I encourage you this week, check out that whole chapter, because a lot of this story that we're going to be talking about, though I may not have all the verses up there, will be in this chapter. It'd be awesome just to go back and look over and think about throughout your week. And by the way, if you don't take notes, you should, because notes are awesome. Just saying. So anyways, so like I said, this story is about two guys, two men. Two people who, they're kind of like you and me, right? Like, we follow Jesus. We want to be like him. And so these are two disciples of Jesus, two people that want to know more about Jesus' teaching. They're following him around. They're with him all the time. You know, wherever he was eating, they were there. Wherever he was teaching, they were there. Probably wherever he was sleeping, they were by. Wherever he was, these people were close by. They were one of the two of the 12 disciples. And so tonight we're talking about, the two disciples we're talking about is Judas Iscariot and Peter. Now Judas, how many of you guys know who Judas Iscariot is, right? Do you guys know, he's known to be a pretty awesome guy, right? No. That guy's like, yeah, I want to be like him. No, that's bad, bad. Judas Iscariot is known for some pretty bad stuff. I've yet to hear a sermon about, you know, the amazing accomplishments of Judas Iscariot and how we should be like him, right? That never happens. Judas Iscariot has gone down in history for his big, big mistake, for doing some stupid stuff. Judas Iscariot went down in history as the guy who betrayed Jesus. And so we read this in Luke 22, 3 through 6. And again, if you have your Bibles, definitely feel free, or it's right up here. So one of Jesus' 12 apostles was named Judas Iscariot. Satan entered him, And he went and talked with the leading priests and some of the soldiers who guarded the temple. He talked to them about a way to hand Jesus over to them. And then in the next verse, the priests were very happy about this. They promised to give Judas money for doing this. He agreed, and then he waited for the best time to hand him over to them. He wanted to do it when no one was around to see it. How many times do we do some stupid stuff when no one's around to see it? We make decisions. We're like, hey, I don't want people to know that I messed up. I don't want people to know that I'm doing something stupid. And that's exactly what Judas was doing. He didn't want anyone to know that, hey, I'm the one that did that. I'm the one that betrayed Jesus. Funny story. If you know the story, a lot of people know. You guys know. So it didn't actually happen in secret. Now, the other disciple I want to talk about was Peter. Peter is known for being the one who started the church. Jesus even prophesied that he was going to be the one. He said, I'm going to build my church on you. And we're not talking about a building. We're talking about people, people who follow Jesus. But even though there's this bright future for Peter, he also made a mistake. But the difference between Peter and the difference between Judas Iscariot is that he didn't allow it to define him like Judas did. And we actually find that this mistake that Peter makes, Jesus was actually prophesied it before. He said, he said this in Luke 22, 31 through 34. He said, Satan has asked to test you men, like a farmer tests his wheat. Oh, Simon, Simon. And now, if you guys know anything about Peter, Simon was Peter's original name. And so he was talking to Peter at this time. I have prayed that you will not lose your faith. Help your brothers be stronger when you come back to me. But Peter said to Jesus, Lord, I'm ready to go to jail with you. I will even die with you. But Jesus said, Peter, before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will say you don't know me. You will say this three times. And later, that's exactly what happened. You know, Judas betrays Jesus. Jesus is going into, you know, before all the religious leaders. And as that's happening, there's Peter. He's kind of sticking around and seeing what's happening to Jesus. But then people start pointing him out and saying, hey, you know, you were with Jesus, right? I've seen you. And after three different people had said that, he denied every time. Every time. And now, I would say, you know, if you think about it, the compare Judas, who what his sin was to betraying, and then you think of Peter's sin, who was just, what, just a lie, right? There's not really any comparison. Obviously, Judas is the bad one. But Jesus had said earlier that if you deny me before men, then I will deny you before the Father. I will deny you before God himself. And so when Peter denied him each time, he was essentially cutting ties off with Jesus. He was saying, hey, I'm done with Jesus. He may have not realized that, but that's what was happening in that moment. And the crazy thing about it is this was in the moment of Jesus' most vulnerable moment here on earth. He's just about to get beaten and murdered, to be put on a cross, one of the most brutal ways to die in that time. How many of you guys have moments where it's hard and it's challenging and you just need a friend? That's where Jesus was. And one of his closest followers, one of his closest friends, was pretending that he didn't even know him. That's brutal. That's brutal. So Judas betrayed Jesus and gave him over to the religious leaders to be killed. And I would say that's a pretty big screw up. And if we read more, we actually find out that Judas felt really bad about it. He actually took the money that he received and tried to give it back. Tried to give it back to help him out. To try to get Jesus out of this, essentially to be executed. But it didn't work out that way. And so Judas was really upset about that. And Peter, obviously in one of Jesus' hardest moments, denied him. And he was pretty messed up and pretty upset about that as well. Both men messed up. Both men made mistakes. Maybe some of you guys can relate with that. You've made some mistakes. You've done some things that maybe you're just not proud of. Maybe when you look back at your 2016, the only thing you really see is regrets. You see things that you're like, man, I wish that those things didn't happen. I wish I didn't do those things. And just like a video game, you wish you could just click a button and reset it all as if it never happened. I don't know where you are this evening, but we've all made mistakes. And I believe what is important is how we respond to those mistakes. How do we respond to our regrets? Because from these two men, we see them deal with it in two completely different ways. For Judas, unfortunately, he didn't deal with it so well. He had the opportunity to repent and follow Jesus and become better than he ever was before. But instead, we actually find out that he went and killed himself. That is a terrible way to deal with mistakes. That's a terrible way to deal with things. But how many times is it easy that when you make one mistake, you just make another one, and then you make another one, and then you make another one, living in a cycle of regrets? You know, maybe you're at home, and you get in trouble with your parents. And maybe because of that, you cop an attitude, so you get in more trouble, and then even more trouble. And then all of a sudden, by the end of the night, you're in the most trouble you've ever been. Mistake after mistake. Or maybe you tried stealing and you got away with it. Or maybe you cheated on a test and you got away with it. So you did it again and you did it again and you did it again and finally became just a pattern in your life. Mistake after mistake after mistake. That could go for anything. That could go for pornography. That could go for sex, drugs, alcohol, any of that. Just almost this cycle of regret. So how do we respond to this? How do we deal with our mistakes? I think Peter is a perfect example of what to do. Because in the end, he didn't allow this mistake to define who he was or who he would be. We find out that, if you know the story, that essentially Jesus, he died, and 3 days later, he came back to life, and he spent some time with Peter. And in those moments, Jesus built him up. It was those moments that helped define who he was going to be, because he had this real encounter with Jesus. And if you read into Acts, you find out that Peter, he ended up preaching to thousands, and those thousands got saved. Those thousands became Christ followers. Those thousands became the foundation of what we are today, that we are Christ followers because of that. So I think there's two things we learn from this. The first thing we learn is repent. Now, I grew up in church, and I've heard a lot of messages of repent. And often when I think of repent, it's like, oh, yeah, God, I'm sorry. And you just move on. And maybe when you go home, you just go do it all over again because it's whatever. God's going to just forgive me. It's no big deal. But real, true repentance is turning our back on it. I don't know what your mistakes are, what your regrets are, what issues you deal with. But to truly repent and say, hey, God, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to keep going back to that. I'm not going to keep cheating on that test. I'm not going to keep stealing. I'm not going to keep having that bad attitude. I'm not going to keep looking at that or looking at that. I'm no longer going there anymore. And we find that Peter did just that. Never again do we find in the scriptures that Peter ever denies Jesus. No, in fact, he preaches in Jesus' name. He turned away from that and said, you know what? No matter what, I'm going to do what Jesus wants me to do. And no matter how hard it is, I'm never going back. I'm a new person. And so the second thing we find from this is we want to get close to Jesus. I think that when Jesus came back and spent that time with Peter, I think it was so, so important, so valuable. You know, we could sit and just say, well, we're just going to repent. But I think getting close to Jesus is so important that it helps us become the person that we want to be. If we want to be able to overcome and truly repent, we need Jesus' power. We need his strength. We need his hope. We can't do that on our own. Because if not, we're going to just keep doing these I'm sorry prayers and going right back to it. We need to get close to Jesus. And how do we do that? We pray. And how do we pray? It's simply as talking to God. It's like, yo, God, what's up? How you doing? You doing good? I'm doing good, right? It's sometimes people think it's like, oh, we got to like have some mumbo jumbo, like, dear Lord, about some Jesus, thank you so much. No, just talk to him. Connect with him. Connect with him. And then the next thing I'd say is obviously read your Bible. That's God's very word to you and me. Learn from it, grow from it, eat it up. Eat it like breakfast. So we need to get alone with Jesus. We need to get close to Jesus. That's how we deal with these mistakes. At the beginning, I asked if, you know, what would life be like if it was a video game? What would life be like if you could just reset life? But we can't just erase the past. But the great thing is with Jesus, we every moment, we have the opportunity to reset. We have the opportunity to restart. I don't know what you're dealing with or what your struggles are, but you have the opportunity every moment, and tonight especially, to say, hey, you know what, God, I'm not going to be like that anymore. I'm going to reset. I'm going to have a fresh, new beginning. It's not going to be like it used to be. The next scripture I have is 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. I think this is so, so important because as we decide that, hey, you know what? I want to reset. I want to be different. I don't want to be the same that I was last year. I don't want 2016 to define my 2017. That we realize that, hey, when we say, God, you know what? I'm going to reset. I'm going to repent. I'm going to turn away from that. And I'm going to set my focus on you. I'm going to get closer to you than ever before. That we realize that we are new. That we are a new person. We're a new creation. And I know some of you, you're like, well, you know, Pastor Drew, that sounds great, but I'm in, you know, I've done some stupid stuff. And I feel like life is kind of caving in around me. I'm not saying your circumstances are going to change. Some of us have dug some really deep holes, and it's going to take some time to get out of that. But we can definitely start fresh and start new. And with this new mindset, we can deal with whatever situations and circumstances we're dealing with now in the most best way possible, with using Jesus's wisdom and Jesus's guidance on how to deal with that. So tonight is about resetting. Tonight is about saying, hey, you know what, God, let it be your will, not mine. It's about, God, what do you want from me? For some of you in this room, that's exactly what you need. You need a reset. You need to look at those mistakes and repent from them, turn away from them and get alone with Jesus and just let him pour himself into you. Your identity is not on what you've done, but should be in Jesus. It's time to reset our focus and set it on Jesus. I bet there's some in this room, if you were real honest with me, you'd say, you know, Pastor Drew, everything you say sounds great. It sounds fantastic. But the truth is, the things that I'm dealing with, the issues that's going on in my life, these things define me. These are the things that make me who I am. So the idea of just getting rid of it makes no sense because I don't even know who I'd be without it. And I'd say take a risk. Take a chance. Yes, you may lose some friends. You may lose your reputation at school. You may not, you're definitely not going to be the same person that you used to be. But I would way rather live a life obedient to Jesus than living a life of a cycles of regret. Time after time saying, man, I shouldn't have done that, but then I do it again, and then I do it again, and then I do it again, and then I do it again. Then all of a sudden, I'm like 50, 60 years old. I'm like, man, where'd my life go? Man, I wish I wouldn't have done that. So tonight, I'm not just asking you to, you know, just feel the feels and then go back home as normal. Go back to school like nothing ever happened. Tonight is about resetting. It's about leaving this place completely new, not the same as you walked in. For many of you, that might mean letting go of not only some of the things in your life, but some of your friends, Some of the people you've been hanging around, you know that they're maybe not so good for you. Maybe you know they've been dragging you down. Maybe that's what you need to let go. I don't know exactly what it is for you, but I know that God wants to be closer to you. And that means, if that means resetting, then I think it's something that we need to do. We need to turn from our mistakes, and we need to get closer to God. But maybe some of you are sitting in this room, you're like, you know, Pastor Drew, again, great stuff, but that stuff doesn't define me at all. My 2016 was fantastic. I've been following Jesus ever since I was in diapers. And I would say, that's awesome. My 2016 was fantastic. But you know what? I want my 2017 to be even better. I want to love God even more than I did last year. I want to be more obedient to Jesus than ever before. I want God to work in, you know, the little things, maybe the attitudes or the bad thoughts or whatever that comes in my own life and say, you know what, God, you take care of that. I want to be better than I was last year. And I hope you do too. I think that, you know, this whole sermon, tonight's whole message was about living a committed relationship with Jesus. Not a relationship that looks over this way or looks over that way, but that is focused and dead set on Jesus. This new year is filled with new commitments. You got people that's committing to losing weight. They're committing to not eat, you know, certain foods like fast food or soda. You got people that are changing their budgets and committing to staying on certain things. Well, let's have our commitment, our 2017 year, to be committed to Jesus. You know, I honestly think that how awesome would it be that at this time next year, 2018, if we were to be able to compare you with right now and next year, that you would be so different. You'd be such a different person because of the commitment you made tonight. How awesome would that be?